With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
What else does he say to us? He says this, "This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already." People say to me, "Do you believe the Antichrist is close?" No, I don't think he's close. I think he's here. I think he's been here. Now, is there a the Antichrist at the end? Well, that's a wonderful biblical discussion. But I'm telling you, Christ warned the people, beginning in this generation, there are going to be false prophets who are anti-Christ-centered gospel preaching.
Welcome. And stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today, Harry brings us part two of the message, The Marks of Progressive Christianity in Christ Church, as we continue our series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective. When a child follows in the footsteps of his or her parents, people will say, "Well, the apple didn't fall far from the tree." Well, contemporary progressive Christianity is the bitter spiritual fruit that did not fall far from the poisonous tree of theological liberalism. Just like liberal Christianity utterly decimated the mainline Protestant church of the 20th century, its anti-Christian offspring, progressive Christianity, is wreaking havoc in the contemporary evangelical church. Let's rejoin Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part two of the message, The Marks of Progressive Christianity in Christ Church.
Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They don't come high, neon lights. False prophet, false prophet, false prophet, false prophet. No, no. They come with deceitful, disguised ministries. Again, nothing's changed since the garden. Satan came with deceptive words, as God said. Then deceptive lies, then disguised as a serpent. And he comes to draw the people of God away through ravenous wolves who stand in sheep's clothing. But now watch, you will recognize them by their fruits. Whatever is in the root will come up the shoot and be seen in the fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? No. Are figs from thistles? No. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Jesus also puts it this way, wisdom will be vindicated by her children. The positive side is, you want to see when somebody preaching the wisdom of God from the Word of God, then you will see the fruit. Will they have a perfect ministry? No, certainly not. But there will be the fruit that is Christ-honoring, Christ-exalting, God-glorifying, Spirit-honoring instead of Spirit-grieving. That's what you look for. That's what you're attempting to find. It is not what tickles my ear, but what is faithful to the Word of God and is feeding my heart, even when my heart is not ready for it. They still bring God's Word to my heart. They don't preach for my applause. Therefore, they don't stop when I frown. They are faithful to bring the truth of God's Word in love to my heart. That's the positive side. The negative side is false prophets produce bad fruit. If the root's not good, then the shoot won't be good, and that means the fruit will be bad, ultimately and finally. Let me try to illustrate this for you. Now, one of the things that you need to understand is that most of the time, false preachers don't start anything. They come in and live off of what's there. So immediately, sometimes you don't see the bad fruit from their ministry because the church is still producing good fruit from the previous ministry. So that can take place. There's still, some of you businessmen and women call it living off of borrowed capital. The church is living off of borrowed capital. And thankfully, so many times when churches are getting a false ministry, still producing some good fruit from the previous ministry, they begin to see something's wrong and they attempt to reach out and hopefully do so in a biblical fashion, not like the world. No, we don't deal with issues like this in a worldly manner, but in the way the Bible prescribes it. It's called Matthew 18. You go to the individual, you take one or two, and then you tell it to the church, and then the elders shepherd us through those issues, and we are patient with the process. But the fact is there is a response that is there. But having said that, overall, over a certain period of time, my guess is this is usually around 3 years. That is pure speculation. I have nothing, no verse in the Bible for you on that. That's just my speculation. I tell men in the ministry so many times, please don't give up in the first 3 to 5 years. Because I think it takes 3 to 5 years. I've had the great privilege to follow Dr. Barker here, and thankful so much to be able to have ministered in the same flock. But I remember that, Frank said, when I came, he said, there's going to be a few challenges here, son. Okay. So here we go. And there were a few challenges. I'll never forget that the 5-year mark of my anniversary, one of the elders here said to me, said, Pastor, guess what? What? We're going to have, there's going to be a Boy Scout meeting, and I want you to go speak to the Boy Scouts. I don't get invitations from them now, but I did back then. And I said, oh, wonderful. I'll be glad to go do that. He said, I'll pick you up. And so he picked me up and took me to a restaurant here. And as I went, I noticed one of my elders hiding behind a bush. What is he doing? And then I walked into the door, and there was over 200 men, elders and deacons from this church that were there. And there was a big sign, Alive After Five. And I realized this was a party. What I didn't know is it a going away party or is it a home going party? I wasn't sure of that yet. But I try to tell young ministers, listen, stay with it. That 3 to 5 to 7 year mark is crucial. But if I can flip it, I can also flip it that in 3 to 5 years, you begin to get an accurate assessment of someone's ministry and the fruit of that ministry. It begins to come through. I have no Bible verses. I'm just telling you that from my examination of church history and in personal almost 4 decades of ministry. And so the fruits will begin to be evident and they will begin to be seen. Now I have one more text of scripture to lay the groundwork for the 7 marks of progressive Christianity when a progressive Christian ministry is established in a local church. And this one, each one of these have built on the other. So I want you to go to one more with me. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This has been a misused text historically, but it's a very helpful text when understood in its context. The church at Corinth had divisions within itself. And Paul is addressing those divisions. And as he's addressing them, he begins to give us an insight that I think is very important for dealing with this issue of progressive Christianity as an adversarial gospel, ultimately, to biblical Christianity. And here is what he says in verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. In other words, he's saying to the Corinthians, you ought to be mature. in the spirit. You ought to be spiritual. You ought to be mature. But you're still carnal. You're still like babes in Christ. There's a lot of the world still hanging on to you. Now, you do realize when you become a Christian, you don't become Mr. I got all the answers. Man, do you know one of the greatest mistakes we make in Christianity is a celebrity comes to Christ and we put them in positions to speak on the matters of the kingdom before they've ever been matured. In other words, their platform is based upon their notoriety apart from Christ, not their progress in Christ. Listen, I am all for such testimonies, but ultimately, the positions of influence and instruction and leadership need to be reserved for maturity, not based upon what you were before you came to Christ, but what you are becoming in Christ. And what he is saying is, I've got a church full of people, you're still acting like babes. Look at all this worldly behavior. And dear brothers, please, let's don't let that happen here. Don't let the worldly approach to issues of polarization and chaos and confusion and man's anger, don't let that find root here. Don't let worldly behavior cling to us. That can't be there. And that's what was happening at Corinth. So they were having divisions, not those that Paul would expect because of the truth, but these were divisions based upon personality and preferences. I'm of Paul. I'm of Peter. I'm of Apollos. And there was a party spirit that had led to divisiveness. Watch how he handles it. I fed you with milk. Here's what he says. Now watch. He says, you're acting like babes. Now, I fed you with milk, not solid food. Why? You were converted. So what do you do with babes? You start with milk. You don't start with steak. You start with milk. You know how you do with Christians? Milk, meat, and in between some mush. I mean, it's just the way you did with your babies, remember? Milk, okay, let's get some cereal. I still remember stirring up the cereal for my three children. If you will look at them, I stirred it up good. And so then they move to meat. And so there they are. They got milk, they got mush, they got meat. And then what happens? Well, now they're getting mature. So Paul says, I fed you with milk. I'm the church planter. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready. Even now you are not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. And while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh? That's not fruit of the Spirit. That's deeds of the flesh. Don't masquerade it as Spirit-led behavior. That's not Spirit-led behavior. You're behaving in a fleshly or human way. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not merely human? That's what the world does. They line up behind celebrities, not us. What then is Apollos? He said, let me give you a biblical view of Apollos and Paul and Peter. Here's the biblical view. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants. Servants. Ministers. Servants through whom you believed. As the Lord assigned to each. Each one of us has their God-given ministry to mature you. But who do you line up for? The God of glory, not the servant. We're the servants, and each one of us have been gifted to do a certain thing in your life. And so as we have functioned, that doesn't mean you choose your allegiance and affections for us. You choose your allegiance and your affections for Christ while you give thanks to God for us. But you don't give what belongs to God to us. So he says, let me tell you about our ministry. I'm the church planter. I planted. Apollos, he followed me. He watered. But God gave the growth. God sent me, God sent Apollos, and God gave the growth through me, and God gave the growth through Apollos. That's where your focus and that's where your praise is. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his wages. We'll get our rewards when we get to be with the Lord. We'll get our wages then. We'll get our rewards when we go to be with him. We will receive wages according to our labor. And then he says, let me change metaphors. Let me go from an agrarian metaphor. I'm going to go now to a construction metaphor. We are God's fellow workers. And then he goes back to the agrarian. You are God's field. And then he goes back to the construction. You are God's building. So what happens in a true church? Now listen, get this, please get it. I know you're sitting there, Harry, are we going to get to those seven? Okay, you found me out. No. This is all introduction. That means you got to come back for the seven. And don't forget a word I've said tonight when you get back for the seven. But I'm about to set you up for the seven. I'm going to give you a word you're going to find in all seven marks of progressive Christianity. Now notice, the true workers, the true servants, the true builders of God, whom he sent, are constructing. They're being built up. They're growing. Do you see that? Construction. That's what you see. Now watch. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters, we're one, we're instruments of God, even though we got different ministries that he's designed for us. Each one will receive his wages according to his labor. We're God's fellow workers, you're God's field, you're God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. He's part of the apostles. He's doing foundation work. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. You see, over here he's planting and Apollos waters. Over here he's laying a foundation. Apollos is going to build on it. You see how he's using these metaphors? And then he says that, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, and hay, and straw, each one's work will become evident. For the day, we've been listening to that, haven't we? The day of judgment. The day will disclose our work as ministers. He's talking about ministers here. Ministers on that day will give an account for their ministries. And their ministries were either wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious jewels. They either built up or they were a facade. One of the two. And the day will reveal it. Christ will reveal what kind of ministry we had. And what does he say? Here's what he says. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Each one, who's he talking about? Ministers. We're looking at ministers in this text. What each one has done, the servants, the builders, the ones called of God to work on the building, his building, to work on the field, each one's work will be manifest. What he has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he gets a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. In other words, you got some people that are saved that have bad ministries. They're not all wolves. Some of them, though, have not been faithful in ministry. Some of them are wolves. Some of them are Christians. They're saved, but their ministries have no reward. Why? It was wood, hay, and stubble instead of building up, edifying, equipping, Ephesians 4, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as pastors, evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints to the building up of the body of Christ. God's ministries overall, in terms of assessment, are constructive, building up God's glory through his people. Those ministries against him are deconstructive. There's your word. False Christianity, whether it was liberal Christianity in the previous century or progressive Christianity, may be conducted by wolves and may be conducted by misguided ministers. But here's how you identify false Christianity, false professing Christianity. It will be deconstructive, not constructive. And I'm going to give you 7 marks of deconstruction. Now, I had planned this. I have 2 more Sundays. The last Sunday is the constructive mission, message, and ministry of biblical Christianity. But this Sunday and next Sunday, first the groundwork and the foundation of these 3 texts that tell you you need to test what's being preached and taught. Is it of the Spirit of God to the preeminence of Christ, saturated with the gospel to the glory of the Father, faithful to the Word of God? If it is, you can see it in the fruit. And the fruit will be the overall assessment that Paul calls gold, silver, and precious jewels. When you put the fire to gold, silver, and precious jewels, it just makes it shine brighter. When you put the fire of judgment against wood, hay, and stubble, it's gone. It's burned up. Deconstructive ministry of progressive Christianity has 7 marks, and I'm going to share it with you. But let me just try to put it this way. You have no idea how many phone calls and emails I get every week, where progressive Christianity is following the same pattern as liberal Christianity. That's why I don't even like to call it progressive, because I think it's regressive. I think it's liberal Christianity with the same motivation and the same mission. Its theological aberrations are different, but they're still there because the motivation and the mission will eventually adulterate the message. But when the message gets adulterated, there will be the fruit of unfaithfulness in the teaching. It leaves, just like godly ministry leaves tracks of people coming to Christ and growing in grace, unfaithful ministry leaves tracks of wood, hay, and stubble. Deconstruction. Right now, every Lord's Day, there's 3 different locations that are populated by scores and scores of people that are right now streaming our services trying to find a pastor. They were all in churches, 400-500, healthy, growing. And pastors came in embracing progressive Christianity. And 3 and 5 years later, there's just a remnant. And those who love the Lord, their voice has been shut down, and they're out. They didn't want to go out, but they had to go out, actually asked to go out in all 3 cases. And I can multiply that. This progressive Christianity is not a matter of just personality differences. I believe it is deconstructing the mission, the message, and the ministries of the church. And I want to give you the 7 marks of it next Sunday night so that you can look at it and understand it. But first of all, I wanted to lay the groundwork. This is something that's not new. I believe the sifting and shifting is more intense than any time I've ever encountered in my entire Christian life and in my ministry. But it's not new. And the Bible tells us, gives us the markers to look for those who are led by the Spirit, those whom God has sent. And it also gives you what the fruit of their ministry, to varying degrees, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, there will be the fruit that will be constructive people coming to Christ, missionaries being sent, churches being planted, small groups being developed, people growing in grace. Those are the things that are there. The only thing getting torn down is sin and every false speculation raised up against the obedience to Christ and His Word. That's what alone is torn down. But in progressive Christianity, like liberal Christianity, which has utterly decimated the mainline Protestant church, now is decimating evangelical churches. It is one parasitic. It starts nothing. It lives off of things until it destroys them. Secondly, it deconstructs. And thirdly, it diminishes all of the ministries of the church and diminishes the joy of the people.
Just like liberal Christianity utterly decimated the mainline Protestant church in the 20th century, its anti-Christian offspring, progressive Christianity, is wreaking havoc in the contemporary evangelical church. Join us again next time as we continue with historic biblical Christianity and contemporary progressive Christianity. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's M Perspective was taken, request The Marks of Progressive Christianity in Christ Church, or simply ask for message number 16432. Again, that's message number 16432. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD, which includes shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243, or email inperspective@briarwood.org. The 20th century saw historic biblical Christianity at war with unbiblical theological liberalism, and the spread of contemporary progressive Christianity in today's evangelical church is the 21st century version of this ongoing spiritual battle. Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth. Dr. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith by examining the marks of progressive Christianity and topics such as its motivation, mission, and message, revoiced theology, and the tie between progressive Christianity and critical theory. To order this 9-CD album, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, go online to briarwood.org/progressive CD. This very well might be the most important series you will order this year. That's briarwood.org/progressive CD. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.